Amen? Amen. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And, you know, it has been quite a week. We've had a little bit of snow, and now it's beginning to melt. And who knows? We'll probably have snow again in a couple weeks. Amen? That's just the way South Bend is. So we just have to get used to it. You know, it's always a difficult call to make on whether to cancel for the weather or not. As you know, if you've been here for any length of time, our general tendencies and my tendency has been not to. That's kind of the general way we handle that is, on your own judgment, you figure out, decide whether you can make it, and stay safe, obviously, always. But, you know, last week the weather was getting bad and it looked like it was getting worse. Just didn't want to put any of you in that predicament. So it looked like what it was looking like and really turned out to be is that about the time second service was happening was when it was really going to be getting a lot worse. And so that's kind of the reason for that. But listen, I hope that you worship the Lord in places other than just here. Amen? You know, our family had a worship service last Sunday morning at our home. And, you know, whether it's just you or your family, you know, we can worship together at home. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I could have done that this morning. Well, when possible, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Amen? So it's good to come together in fellowship, even though worship can happen anywhere. So, listen, we want to start out this year strong. Amen? We want to start out this year strong. I don't know if you've made, anybody make New Year's resolutions? No New Year's resolutions. Hey, that's okay. Maybe just rededications, renewed passion and so forth. You know, here's the thing. We start out the new year and we think, wow, okay, this year is going to be the year that I'm going to do whatever. You know, I'm going to really commit myself to being faithful to the Lord in attendance. Maybe I'm going to commit myself to reading my Bible every day. I'm going to commit to reading the Bible all the way through. You know, a lot of markers we do in our life, and the reality is, whatever those individual things are that God may be speaking to us about, we often start out strong. Usually don't finish that way, do we? That's what I want to talk about this morning. On July 4th, 1952, 34-year-old Florence Chadwick waded into the water off of Catalina Island, off the coast of California, and began a 21-mile swim toward the California coast. If she completed her journey, she would be the first woman ever to accomplish this feat. However, the water was ice cold, and the fog was so heavy that she could hardly see the boats that were traveling with her in her own party. It was an extremely difficult swim. In fact, in the boats, she had men armed with rifles to fend off the sharks that were attempting to attack her. Doesn't sound like a very smart swim, but something she wanted to do. But in reality, her toughest problem was not the sharks and the other those types of the animals and so forth, but it was the constant numbing coldness of the water. As she swam, she just got colder and colder and tireder and tireder. So after 15 hours after she began, with her muscles sluggish and unresponsive due to the frigid water, she'd made up her mind. She decided that she couldn't make it any further. And she asked those in her party in the boats right around her to take her out of the water. She couldn't make it any farther, she didn't think. Her mother and her trainer, both alongside her in the boat, told her, listen, you are so close to land. I know you can't see it, but it's not far at all. We're looking at the instruments. It's just not that far. She said, listen, I believe you, but I can't go any farther. So she gave up and asked to be taken out of the water. Unbelievably, after making it 20 and a half miles of the 21-mile journey, she gave up only half a mile from shore. Now, friends, we can start out strong in life, amen? But many times fall short and not finish strong. You know, shortly afterwards, she was interviewed and about what was going through her mind, and couldn't she just make it that little bit farther? And she said, look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it. Evidently, she was right, because 2 months later, after her failed attempt, she did make it. Florence Chadwick walked off the same beach into the same channel and swam the same distance, setting a new world speed record. Why? Because then there wasn't fog to deal with, and then she could see the land. You see, I believe like Florence Chadwick, many times we lose sight of the goal and we feel like giving up. We lose sight of the goal. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're frustrated. You know, sometimes life, you know, we can keep pressing on and pressing on and pressing, but we just kind of get frustrated, right? And that frustration can build up and burst over into anger. And sometimes that anger, those that are closest to us kind of feel the brunt of that sometimes, don't they? We can get discouraged, or sometimes we can just feel like we've lost our aim. You know, it's easy to start out strong, especially here at the new year, but it's difficult to finish strong. It's difficult to finish strong. Friends, I don't know about you. I don't want to fizzle out by the end of January, right? You know, people come start their New Year's resolutions, come out with new dedications, renewed efforts, new goals. But by the end of January, most people have fizzled out. Amen? I don't want to just start strong. I want to finish strong. Amen? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And that's what we want to look at here. We're going to look in our Bibles at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at a passage here in Philippians chapter 3 about the Apostle Paul and some things that he talks about, I believe, that helped him to finish strong. I believe this is kind of I want to propose to you kind of a formula or a recipe of sorts to help us finish strong. Four ingredients that we see here in the life of the Apostle Paul that I believe if we'll apply them to our life, I believe they'll help us to finish strong. One thing I forgot. See, listen, you know, you're off a week and you just forget these types of things. If you didn't get an outline in your bulletin, if you'll raise your hand. All right, anybody need an outline? Anybody not get an outline? All right, before we go to number one. See, somehow, through the providence of God, I knew that only not many people needed one of those this morning. So, all right, number one, four ingredients we need to finish strong. First of all, friends, we need... And what we see in the Apostle Paul was a firm confidence in Christ. A firm confidence in Christ. You know, like the Apostle Paul, I believe we need to know whose we are. Amen? And I believe need to know where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord. Amen? It doesn't come from ourself. And so if we want to be solid at the very core, if we want to be solid in who we really are in our foundation, we need to get our strength and our confidence from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul says here, he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." What's Paul saying here? He says, listen, I count all things lost. I am willing to give up everything for Jesus. Amen? I'm willing to give up everything for Jesus. I'm not going to try to find my strength in myself. I'm not going to try to find my identity in myself, but I'm going to get my identity in Christ. And because of that, I'm going to count everything else as loss, everything else as nothing, everything else as rubbish to gain Christ. Amen? Jesus says, "He who is not willing to turn and forsake all is not worthy of me." Amen? So it's a requirement of the gospel that we forsake all. But friends, the reality is, practically speaking, there is no other place to get strength. Amen? Our every human strength we could fester up fails us. Amen? The only confidence, the only strength that will last is in Christ. Look at verse 9. So he says, "That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Now, Paul realizes that... And he's come to realize that we can't be righteous in and of ourselves. Amen? We can't be righteous. We can't live up to the law. We can't be who we think we can be. You ask 10 people out there, do they think they're going to heaven? Most of them will say yes, right? But what's the reason they'll give you as to why? I'm a good person. Probably 9 people out of 10 would probably tell you the reason they think they're okay with God, they're going to heaven, is because they're a good person. Friends, what we need to realize is we're not good people. We're at the very core of who we are. We are sinners. The heart is wicked, is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is deceitful above all things. And so when we put our faith and our trust in our gut, just think about it. So if when we put our faith, listen, Pastor, I live by my gut. I don't know about you. I don't trust my gut, okay? I got enough problems in my gut, amen? You know? So I don't trust my gut because I know that without seeking the Lord and without seeking His direction and His guidance in my life, that I'm going to make wrong decisions most of the time, amen? I've got to trust God to lead me and guide me, and He's the only one I can find my confidence in. So I know that I'm not a good person. I fail. I fall short. That's exactly what Paul says here. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, we can never be perfect. We can never be good enough. What's good enough to get into heaven? Perfect, right? If you think you can be perfect, go ahead and try it on your own merit. But we know that doesn't work, amen? We know we can't be. So then, not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So how does, where do we get our righteousness from? Where do we become right with God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where I get my identity. That's where I get my strength. That's where I get my confidence from, is in Christ. Amen? Now, if there was anyone who could have confidence in himself and in his credentials, especially as a Jew, as a righteous, humanly speaking person, it would have been the Apostle Paul, right? He gives us a list of things. Go back to verse 4. Look at what he says here in verse 4. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, Paul's saying, listen, if anybody thinks that they can get their confidence in the flesh, he says, listen, if that was possible, I would have had it. And he goes on to list. He says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, he was a Jew through and through. He was circumcised as they were supposed to be. He was knew his tribe. He was one of God's chosen people. And the Jews at that time, they thought just because they were an Israelite, that made them right with God. So Paul says, if that made you right with God, then, hey, I'm it. He goes on, he says, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Now, we know that the Pharisees, while they weren't all they claimed to be, outwardly speaking, they were blameless. They lived up to not only the letter of the law, but they made lots of other laws they lived up to, right? And so they were right up there. He says, listen, I was a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was passionate as a Pharisee, as one who supposedly was living for God. He was passionate. And it says, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So according to the law, Paul was lived up to every jot and tittle. But what things were gained to me, verse 7 says, these I have counted loss for Christ. In other words, all those things that he might have held on to for his identity, those things he might have had confidence in, that might could have given him confidence in the Lord, he says, listen, I count all those things as loss for Christ. For Jesus Christ, because that is where we really need to get our confidence from. Amen? Our confidence needs to come from the Lord, not from ourselves. Because our confidence in ourselves fails. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about, what I mean here by confidence in Christ versus confidence in yourself. I want you to imagine for just a minute, I want you to imagine that you're going to war. Okay, you've just been drafted into the army or you enlisted and signed up and you're going to war and you're going into battle and you have the opportunity to choose your battle attire. Okay, now I want you to imagine you going into war with just the clothes you have on this morning. Okay? You're going into battle. Now, it really doesn't matter what kind of battle you're going into, whether it's, you know, you're fighting with swords 500 years ago or you're fighting with machine guns today. The clothes that we have on today are not going to protect us very much in war, are they? They're not. And that's like having confidence in the flesh, okay? You know, in our world today, especially in the sports world, what do they say? You say, you know what? They just need to have confidence. They lost their confidence. They lost their confidence. Listen, they didn't lose their, that's not why they lost, because they lost because they weren't good enough, okay? It wasn't because they lost their confidence. You can muster up all the confidence you want in the world, but if you're not good enough, it doesn't matter, amen? It doesn't matter. And so having confidence in the flesh is like going into battle with just regular clothes on. You know what? The first bullet comes, if it's aimed properly, I'm going down. Amen? That's just what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. And opposed to that, but having confidence in Christ is like going into battle with head to toe, full body Kevlar armor suit. Okay? You've got a bulletproof bulletproof armor from head to toe, and you're going into battle, and you know that there's nothing that can harm you, and you can charge in with confidence. Now, your confidence is in something that's going to protect you, right? Your confidence is in something that's going to keep you from getting killed, so you can charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? You know? And so in life, when we have our confidence in Jesus Christ, I can face anything. Why? Because I know, number one, that my eternity is secure. Amen? I know my eternity is secure. I also know that anything that I do, my strength comes from the Lord. You know, Philippians chapter 4, just the next chapter, verse 13, what does Paul say about where he gets his strength? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So friends, listen, when we get our confidence in Christ, when we know we're right with God, our strength comes from Him. Amen? And we can finish strong because we know that nothing can ultimately harm us. I am in Christ. I am His. My name is written in heaven. And anything I go through here on life, God is allowing me to go through that. And God's not going to allow anything to happen to me that He doesn't know about and that He doesn't have a plan for. Amen? Doesn't mean that everything's always going to be perfect in our life. Listen, there are many who lived throughout history that were martyred for their faith. Amen? But they were right in the center of God's will. And I would rather be in the center of God's will, even if it's the most dangerous place on earth, than to be out of God's will in, humanly speaking, what might be the safest place on earth. And we can only get that kind of boldness that the Apostle Paul had, if we have our confidence in Christ. Amen? Our confidence in Christ. If we want to finish strong, we've got to have a firm confidence in Christ. Number two, we also need to have a proper mindset. We need to have a proper mindset about ourselves. You know, one thing we need to be careful about is becoming overconfident in ourselves. Amen? Now, see, I don't want you to misunderstand what we're talking about here. Because if we become overconfident, a lot of people say, well, you're confident in Christ, okay, but how can you? See, the reason they don't understand that is because the confidence in Christ has nothing to do with my merit. Amen? Has everything to do with Him and who He is and what He did for me. You see, I can be confident not because of who I am, but because of who He is and what He's done for me. Amen? So we never can get the confidence in ourselves. If we do, that can lead to failure if we try to act in the flesh. Amen? So, lest anyone think Paul is encouraging that, he clarifies his thought process here. Look at verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." So, listen, Paul understands, listen, that he is in Christ, that in Christ, God sees him as already righteous. Amen? God sees him as if he was already perfect because he is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But he also understands that in this world, he is not already there. Amen? Practically speaking, you know, we still have faults. Amen? We get saved. God looks at us as if we're perfect, but we're not. Amen? Everybody say, I'm not yet perfect. I'm not yet perfect. One day we're going to be. Amen? God looks at us that way now, but I'm not already perfected. Look at verse 13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have laid hold of it. What's he talking about laying hold of? We lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. In other words, Jesus died to save us. Amen? But to make us righteous, and so he gives us his righteousness immediately, and then there's a process that begins whereby he begins to work out all the impurities in us and to perfect us, amen? But we need to realize that we are not yet there, amen? We are still a work in progress, amen? Everybody say that. I am a work in progress. Let me take it to another step, okay? Everybody say with me, I am a fixer-upper. I'm a fixer-upper, amen? Just think about it, okay? It's kind of like this. God has gone out and he's bought himself a bunch of fixer-uppers, right? He paid the price, okay? The price was Jesus' body and blood shed on the cross, but he went out and bought a bunch of fixer-uppers, you know, a bunch of used material, amen, that's got flaws, that's been messed up, that's been, you know, sometimes beaten down. And just think about it. You know, if you go out and buy a fixer-upper, what's one of the first things you do? Roger, what's one of the first things you want to go out and do? You want to put some new paint on that, right? Put some new paint on that house, okay? You want to put some paint. When you go out and buy a fixer-upper, you start paint. You put new paint on the walls and start freshening up and stuff and maybe rip out the old carpet and put some new carpet in there and stuff. Friends, God started painting you, okay? Now, some of us need more painting than others, amen? But God starts painting and he starts changing out the carpet and then he starts knocking out some walls and putting up new walls and then he begins rearranging the furniture and then he begins pushing out the walls and putting new rooms on the house. Amen? Eventually to have the mansion that he wants. Here's the thing we need to realize. We are a fixer-upper. We are a fixer-upper. We are work in progress. We are not yet what we're going to be. Amen? But praise God, we're not what we used to be. And praise God for that. He has redeemed us. He saved us. We are his child, and he is working in us to make us into who he wants us to be. That's the mindset we need to have. Amen? The mindset too many Christians have is, well, I'm a Christian. I don't act like that. You know what? Yeah, you do. Don't ever think you're too good. Don't ever think that, you know, we read stuff on the news and we see different things that happen. And a lot of times we say, I would never do that. That is a prideful, arrogant, hypocritical, pharisaical attitude. Except for the grace of God, you haven't done that yet. Put in the right situations with the right things happening to you, or I should say the wrong things happening, you would be down the same path. Yet for the grace of God. You need to be grateful that God has saved you and that God has speaking to you and that you have a relationship with him and are walking with him day by day. Friends, yet for the grace of God, so go I. Amen? But thank God, even though I'm not who I'm yet going to be, I'm not who I used to be. Amen? I'm a work in progress. So friends, we need to have a firm confidence in Christ. Second ingredient we need to finish strong is a proper mindset about ourselves. Understand that we are a work in progress. The third thing I believe we all need, friends, and the ingredient here is a clean slate concerning the past. Amen? A clean slate concerning the past. Friends, if there is one thing that can hinder us from finishing strong, it's all the junk from our past. Amen? It is the junk from our past coming back and haunting us and causing mental blocks with us and things that we can't get over mentally and stuff. But listen here, it's not just the junk from the past. It can also be the good stuff from the past. Amen? You know, we can still be living in the past and not be focusing on the future. So what does the Apostle Paul say about this? Look at verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." What does he say that we do about those things behind us in the past? Forget them. Amen? We forget them. We forget them. You say, "But Pastor, you just don't understand what's happened to me. I just can't forget." You know, we just went through a wonderful study on forgiveness, and you may say, "Well, Pastor, I don't have problems with forgiveness and stuff." Well, if there's still things that you can't forget, make the choice to forget. You know, do you think God forgets our sins? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. God doesn't forget them because he has amnesia. God chooses not to remember them anymore. Okay? He could get them back in his mind if he wanted to. He doesn't want to. He's chosen to put it in the past. He's chosen to forgive you in Christ. Amen? So, whatever is in your past, listen, are you better than God? Of course not. So, whatever's in your past, let it be in the past. Amen? We first need to take it to the cross. Amen? What enables us to do that? We take it to the cross. Amen? Only what Jesus Christ has done on the cross allows us to. We must take all our sins to the cross. Amen? We turn from them. I love how verse 13, he says, "One thing I do," and then he tells us two things, right? Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things which are ahead. How do we reconcile that? How is it one thing, Paul, if we forget the past and we look forward to the future? Because it's not two things, it's one thing. Do you catch it? Do you catch it? No, it's two things, Pastor. Forgetting the past and reaching forward. No, it's one thing. It's called repentance. Turning from the past and the sin and turning to Christ. It's one act, friends. You can't do one without the other. It's one thing I do. Forgetting the past and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In other words, we go to the cross and we leave it all there. We leave our sins there. Amen? He died to pay the penalty for my sins so that I don't have to. Praise God. So I can live looking forward and confidence in him, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done for me. I can leave my sins at the cross. Amen? But we can also leave all of our failures at the cross. Amen? Sometimes it's just our failures, you know, places we fall short, the could-have-beens, amen? What could have been or what should have been. Guess what? Leave it at the cross. It doesn't matter. It's in the past, amen? You know what? And focus on, listen, so many times, I know so many people who their failures of the past have continued to define their future. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Friends, leave it and listen, if you'll commit yourself to Jesus Christ now, you can have a whole different future. You can have a whole different future. Leave your failures at the cross. Friends, leave your disappointments at the cross. Amen? Leave your hurts at the cross. Stop rehashing them over and over and over and over again. Friends, if Jesus died to forgive you, the Bible says the least you can do is forgive others. Amen? So leave it at the cross. Leave it at the cross. Friends, we must leave all that stuff in the past. Not only must we leave our sins and our failures and our disappointments and all that stuff in the past, friends, but we must also leave our successes in the past. Amen? You know, living in the successes of the past can also hinder our progress and work for the Lord. Our so-called relationship with the Lord now can become so much about what it used to be instead of what it is now. Amen? You know, we all know someone, as I just mentioned a minute ago, and maybe it's you, but maybe we all know someone whose life is not what it should be because they continue to let the failures and their sins of their past control them, right? But we also probably all know someone whose life is not all it could be because they hold on to a day that used to be. A day that when they used to be really close to the Lord. When I was a teenager, you know, we just had a couple of mountaintop highs, and I was so close to the Lord. Well, what about today? Oh, it's never been the same. Why? Because you're living in the past. You're living in the past. You see, sometimes the successes of the past can prevent us from living for the Lord Jesus now. Listen, thank God for the good things that have happened in your past. Amen? You know what? But here's the deal. You're never going to recreate them again the same way as before. You know what? And that's okay. Amen? It's okay. Just say, God, thank you that for the times in which you have moved in my life in the past. Lord, I want to see you move in my life now. It begins with a commitment to him now. So many people are just focused so much on the past that they don't give their life and their heart and their all to Jesus now. Friends, we're starting out 2014. What a better opportunity than to do it, say it with me, now. But Pastor, you don't know, it's my life's just not like it used to be. That's your choice, now. But Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. Doesn't matter. What about now? But Pastor, and here's the thing. Sometimes we even live in the future, right? But what if, Pastor, I do this, and what about, don't worry about then. Worry about now. Commit yourself to Christ now. Jesus called his disciples. He said, leave all your stuff and follow me. It's in the present tense. Follow him. Walk with him now. Amen? Walk with him now. Friends, that's what we need. We need a clean slate concerning the past. And what we all need is what Paul speaks of next. And we lead to number four, and that is an undistracted focus on the Lord and Christ-likeness. An undistracted focus on the Lord and Christ-likeness. Friends, I love this passage. There are several popular songs today that are written about this passage. That as I reread this passage, you're going to begin to think the songs in your mind. That's okay. It's good. Maybe we ought to sing them all together. Amen. I believe it is because whether it's through our sins, our failures, our disappointments, our hurts, the devil uses all those things to keep Christians ineffective in their service to the Lord. Look at verse 12. We've read parts of these verses, but let's read them in their entirety. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? Press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Friends, why did he lay hold of you? To give you his righteousness. Amen? He laid hold of you to give you a home in heaven. Friends, and so as he has laid his righteousness on you, friends, we are to lay hold of that righteousness which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. In other words, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, realizing that it is God who works in you to will and to work according to his good pleasure. Amen? We cooperate with the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to do his work in us, and we press on. I do not count myself to have apprehended, brethren, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, the verb here for press on is a Greek word that was originally used of a sprinter. It refers to the active, intentional, all-out effort needed for a race. If you're going to run a sprint, the 100-yard dash or something like that, then you've got to give it all-out effort. Amen? You know, you may not be the fastest person in the world, but if you're going to do a sprint, you've got to do what? You've got to sprint. And you can't be a lazy sprinter. Amen? You can't be a lazy sprinter. Friends, so we need to look unto Jesus and we need to press on like a sprinter running for the goal, for the prize. What's the prize? The prize is heaven, friends. It's already guaranteed us. And I believe too many Christians, because the prize is already guaranteed, we feel like I don't need to run. I don't need to sprint. I can just relax. The Bible says, yes, we don't work for our salvation, but we work out of our salvation. You get the difference? We don't work for our salvation, but we work out of our salvation. In other words, we work because we're saved. Amen? We serve him not in order to be saved, but we serve him because he's redeemed us. Because he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Because we love him so, we serve him and seek to bring others to him as well. So friends, what do we need to do? We need to do what Hebrews chapter 12 says, right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, friends, where does our focus need to be? Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Where is our focus most of the time? It's on ourselves, isn't it? You know, when it's on our path, you know, we talked about leaving the past behind, clean slate, all that kind of stuff. You know why we stay stuck in the past? Because we either get so focused on, it's just we get focused on us in one way, shape, or form. You know, well, it could be the woe is me, right? Well, you know, I'm just such a terrible person, and I'm just such a louse, and I'm just can't do anything right, and blah, 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 blah. Well, listen, here's the deal. Okay, understand that, but get our confidence in Christ. Amen? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you know what? You've come to the point, you've realized half the truth. Yes, you're right, we fail. Yes, you're right, we fail. Okay, I'm with you there. Okay? But the other half of the truth is our potential is unlimited in Christ. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and we allow Jesus to give us our strength and we don't worry about ourselves and we put self out of our mind and we put our focus on Jesus and we're not focused on ourselves, then we can focus on ministering to others and we can focus on sharing the gospel with others and we not get bogged down by the woe is me or good is me or whatever it is, and we can just focus on Jesus and focus on being who he wants us to be. Amen? He wants us to be like him. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to have his heart. Amen? His heart for the lost. His heart for people. His compassion for others. He wants us to have his mind. A mind that is sound and strong and is not tossed to and fro and every which way by every wind of doctrine and all the junk in the world today. Amen? He wants us to have his feet that go into the world to preach and teach the gospel, friends, and we can only have that if our heart, our mind, and our feet are focused on him. Amen? If we're going to not only start strong, but if we're going to finish strong, friends, then we must press on with an undistracted focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on ourselves. So say this with me, all right? I'm going to take my eyes off myself. Say it with me. I'm going to take my eyes off myself, and I'm going to put them on who? And put them on Jesus, amen? Take my eyes off myself, and I'm going to put them on Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how then can I focus on Christ's likeness if I'm not focused on myself? Listen, if you don't focus on yourself and you just focus on Jesus, the next thing you know, you'll be more like Jesus than you ever imagined. Runner's World Magazine ran an article several years ago which they told the story of Beth Ann DeChantis' attempt to qualify for the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon. It's not even qualifying for the Olympics, but just qualifying for the Olympic Trials Marathon. But in order for her, a female runner, to qualify for the Olympic Trials, she would have to complete the 26-mile race in less than 2 hours, 45 minutes, in order to go on and compete at the Olympic Trials. Now, I don't know what a normal time is for a marathon, but that seems awful fast to me. Is that pretty quick, Chris? Pretty quick. How fast was your marathon?
My marathon?
Didn't you? I know Chris is a runner. Keep our eyes on Christ. There we go. Good answer, Chris. Good answer. Her qualifying would have to be less than 2 hours, 45 minutes. So as she attempted to qualify, Beth Ann DeChantis started out strong. And as most runners, she started out strong, kept going. But around mile 23, she ran into a wall. She ran in, needed that extra, you know, that second wind. She continued to push herself and kind of got her second wind. And she finally reached the final straightaway. The final straightaway, where she could see the finish line, and the entire time was at that point was 2 hours 43 minutes, just 2 minutes left to qualify. She was 200 yards from the finish line when she stumbled and fell. She sat there dazed for about 20 seconds trying to gather herself, but the clock was still ticking and ticking and ticking. She heard the crowd yelling, "Get up, get up, get up." Finally, with 2 hours and 44 minutes, less than a minute to go, she got up and began to stagger towards the finish line. She was not far from the finish line, about 15 feet or so, and then she fell to her knees. Her body was just exhausted. Her muscles were giving out. She fell to her knees. The crowd still hollering, "Go, go, finish." She couldn't even get up. She began to crawl on her arms, little by little, the clock ticking, 2 hours, 44 minutes, 30 seconds, 31. And with 2 hours, 44 minutes, 57 seconds, she crossed the finish line. Friends, like Beth Ann DeChantis, there are times when life's going to knock you down. Amen? The question is not, is life going to knock us down? The question is, will we get up again? Will we get up putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to give us strength? You know what? I'm sure she felt like she didn't have any strength. Amen? Friends, maybe you're like that today. You say, "You know what, Pastor? I don't feel like I have any strength." Friends, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll give you strength. You know, sometimes, it's just pressing on, even in the midst. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we feel discouraged and just kind of like we've lost our aim. And sometimes it's just we don't even feel like it. But because we know that Jesus will give us our strength, we just have to keep going. Amen? Here's the deal. Here's what I want to promise you. If you'll keep going, God will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not faint. Let's, in this new year, friends, let's determine we're not going to just start strong, we're going to finish strong. Amen? Not by keeping our eyes on ourselves, but by putting our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow this morning with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know there are those here this morning who have, for many, 2013 has been a difficult year. Lord, it may be things that they've not even shared with anybody else. Maybe physically, 2013 has just beat them down. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's emotionally. And Lord, we come into 2014. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one here would be able to take everything in 2013 and take it to the cross. Lord, whether it's our own failures, whether it's our sin, whether it's discouragement, in 2014, Lord, we can put our eyes on You, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I ask You to strengthen us. Lord, I ask You to renew in us, renew a right spirit within us. Lord, for those who are here this morning who have never put their faith and trust in You as Lord and Savior, Lord, speak to their heart right now that they would surrender their heart and their life to You. Lord, for those who have, Lord, but 2013 has been one of those years, Lord. Lord, right now, help them to not worry about the past, not worry about the future, but right now, to just to commit themselves to You, to just walking with You day by day. Maybe they don't know what that means, Lord. I know You'll show them. Lord, we want You to renew that spirit within us, Lord. We need Your strength. We need Your stamina, Lord, to press on, to do Your work in 2014 as you've called us to, Lord. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.